Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Bitches Be Brave podcast, where we talk about support for each other and what it means to be brave as a mom, as a woman, as a working mom. I'm your host, Bev Steele, and quite frankly, work-life balance is crap. We all just want a life. Thank you for joining me today. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I am super excited about my podcast guest today, Michelle Dempsey-Moltak, and our topic of divorce. Michelle is a writer, a mom, a coach, a certified divorce specialist, a speaker, an author, and honestly, a really cool person. And you are all going to love her. She hosts the weekly podcast Moms Moving On and has a book coming out in January. She writes regularly on the topic of divorce and moving on after divorce. And I love this topic for a few reasons. One, it really touches on some challenges that I have had personally in the past, which we will talk about in this podcast. I was married before, I don't like to say my current husband, because it sounds like maybe he's number two. And I'm really hoping that he sticks. But there is a lot of shame on divorce and talking about it and being open and real about it. And, you know, it's okay to want to have a really successful divorce. And Michelle's Instagram is super cool. She'll tell you where to find her at the end. But I just love her messaging and her real talk. And I'm really looking forward to you all listening to her and learning about her and knowing more if you are going through a divorce, have gone through a divorce, have a friend that's going through a divorce. This is really great information and you're going to want to connect with Michelle. So here we go. Hi, Michelle. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I say good morning because you're in Florida and I'm in San Diego and I got up early and got everything done so we could talk today.
I'm honored. Thank you.
This might be a thing for me. So I am so excited to talk to you and hear your story and how you got on this mission. I have a personal story about divorce myself and I've been following you for a long time and listening to how you promote a real healthy divorce and a life after divorce. So if we could just get started and you could tell me about how you found yourself on this path and this mission.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know, looking back, it all makes sense, right? Like that's how life goes. I was the product of a really unhealthy divorce and a toxic divorce process. My parents' divorce lasted my entire childhood into high school. And I was very jaded about marriage. And I kind of always felt like I probably would never get married, but if I did, probably wouldn't work out anyway. So getting divorced did not come as a surprise to me. I had a lot of my own issues I hadn't worked through yet. Probably married the wrong person because of those issues, and the marriage just brought out the worst in us. So it didn't work out. So I got divorced and I was 33 and my daughter was 2. And I was kind of like, oh my God, like, okay, well, I feel built for this because I had already been through a lot at this point, but I feel so alone. And so I started posting about it. I was already running, you know, an account that was being followed by moms. I was somewhat of a mommy blogger. And I started posting about the fact that I was co-parenting and not seeing my daughter every weekend and how hard that was and being a single mom. And in tandem with that, I had been writing for a bunch of different mommy magazines and publications like Scary Mommy and Parents. And I shifted the nature of my content to match like where I was in my life. And not many people were really out there, you know, talking about divorce yet, like they are now on social media. So that sort of solidified my place in the world as a woman talking about divorce. And as that became more of a thing, women would reach out to me and say, hey, I love that you're doing this. I feel so much less alone. Can I hire you? And I was like, I don't know. Like, what do you want to hire me for? I didn't know that like that was something I could do. So because these questions were coming in fast and furiously, like hundreds at a time, I decided to start my podcast, Moms Moving On, because I wanted to bring on experts who could speak to these issues. I felt if people were turning to me for answers, I had an obligation to give them the best possible information. So I started the podcast, and then more and more people reached out about hiring me. So I got certified as a coach and then became a certified divorce specialist through the National Association of Divorce Professionals and built my coaching career. And now I work one-on-one with women who are either getting ready to leave and need a little help and strategy, or who have left and are struggling with co-parenting with somebody who's high conflict or toxic, or just getting used to divorce life in general. We do group workshops, and I have my first book coming out in a couple of months, Moms Moving On, Real Life Advice for Conquering Divorce, Co-parenting Through Conflict, and Becoming Your Best Self.
I love the name, and I really want to dig into that. But before we do, you mentioned that when you had started posting, it was because people weren't really talking about it, or maybe that's why it was really well received, because there you were saying it. And I shared with you just before we started recording that, and I don't even know if I've shared this with my listeners, so maybe I still have some hangups here, that I was divorced before marrying my husband. And I always felt like there was some shame in it. Like I didn't want to let people know that I was married before. And especially after I married my second husband, I thought that maybe that was maybe disrespectful for him. And then we had children and I'm like, okay, well, how do I deal with this? So why is it that we have such a hard time with talking about it?
I think, like you said, there's shame there. I think society tells us that if you can't make your marriage work, you have failed, you're a failure. But life experience shows us that if you get divorced and start fresh again, like yourself, you thrive. And so what I'm really trying to do is help like turn that narrative upside down, that divorce is just this horrible thing you're doing and you're ruining your life and your life is over, because it's not. For so many women, they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize how good life could be when I, you know, took my power back or really lived my most authentic life. So, you know, I think there's a lot of guilt and shame. If your spouse has left you and you don't want the divorce, you feel rejected. And that's a horrible thing to have to present to the world. Like I wasn't good enough for my spouse and now he's left me. So there's a shame in that as well. But, you know, I hope that if anything, I have shown and taught women that there's nothing to be ashamed of in taking a stand and leaving a place that doesn't serve you. I mean, you only have one life, and to live it unhappy or abused or in fear of your emotional well-being is just not worth it.
Yeah. And I really feel like that shame evolved. I had the shame after the initial divorce when I met my husband. Now I had shame when he had never been married before and he wanted a wedding. And I thought, well, I already did that. Like, and with my parents, you know, my mom was very old fashioned. She's like, can we give you a shower? And, you know, there was all these messages.
You did. Yeah.
And I felt like I was tainted. Like I couldn't have that shower because I had been married before. And I wanted to do all those things for my husband because he hadn't been married. And then we had children. And then I had that shame again, because do I tell them? And for many years, they did not know. And I was married to a Bob and I married a Bob. So that kept it very easy around the family. So my family started calling him Big Bob and Little Bob to tell the difference. But there was a couple of oops where I realized that I had to tell my children. So what are your recommendations for the moms that are divorcing that may not have already had a family and then in their new marriage have a family, and how they deal with telling their children?
That's a good question. I've never gotten asked that before. I think because the women I work with are divorcing with children, so the kids know.
You have a whole new demographic now.
I think, you know, honesty is always really important. And if you don't give your kids honesty before they can turn around and get mad at you for not having it, then you're kind of screwed, right? Like, how do you tell a child they're adopted? Or how do you tell a child there was a world that existed before you? Mm-hmm. I think once they understand what marriage means and the significance of relationship and family, I think it's fine to say, you know, before Mommy Met Your Daddy or Your Mommy. Mommy was married before. And what happened was, even though we loved each other very much, we realized that we just weren't getting along and we weren't good together. And I learned so much. And that's why I was able to meet your daddy and have this family. Because the worst thing, I think, is for a kid to find out from somebody else about something that's going on in their world. You know, like, I know your mom's, you know, ex-husband. Who? What? Like, what do you mean?
So that would have been bad.
Important. And you have to keep it age appropriate. Like, you're not going to sit your child down at the age of 4 and say this, but 6, 7, 8, they might understand. And there's always, you know, a way to speak to your children and in a way that they'll receive it. Okay. So
yeah. Not gonna be a shame. Yeah. And I think where I was coming from is I didn't want my kids to think that marriage is disposable. Like, I didn't want them to think that you get married just because, and if it doesn't work out, you just get divorced. But now what I know, it's like, then I'm sending that maybe they need to stay in a marriage that isn't healthy for them or their kids, you know, that sends a whole new message.
Yeah. No, I think actually, you know, showing them that, hey, I realized this wasn't for me. And so I moved on and I was okay. That's one of the best lessons we can learn in life. You know, my daughter's 6 years old and she'll tell me, I really want to play with this girl at school, but she's not nice to me. And so I'm like, so then why do we want to play with her? And what about the people who are nice to you and how special that is? And so I'm constantly teaching her the lesson of, you don't have to stay in something if it doesn't feel good or feel right or makes you unhappy. And that applies to so many things in life. You know, mm-hmm. I remember when I was first starting on my career path, when I was in my early 20s and I was like jumping from thing to thing because I didn't know what fit, I felt such shame in that. Like I couldn't just stick with one thing. And my mom would be like, you know, and this one's been at her law firm since. And I'm like, well, I don't know yet. Like, you know, and I felt shame in that. But now I'm so proud of myself that I didn't let opinions hold me back. And I tested all the waters before I found the right pond to swim in, you know, and no, marriage is not disposable and it shouldn't be, but it's not always what it needs to be for you to be okay. So that's important to remember too.
Right. That is so good. And I know that I didn't have any kids when I divorced my first husband, and people would always say, well, thank God you didn't have kids. And that crushed me because I thought, that. Well, I know. I was like, oh, no, really? I wish I'd had, you know, I was in my 30s and I thought, well, gosh, you know, what's next?
Yeah. So something people have said to me that really just, I mean, if you want to see me get upset, you will not say this to me. They'll say, wouldn't it have been so much easier to get divorced before you had a kid? And I'm like, oh yeah, of course. But then I wouldn't have my child and F you, because my child is my whole world, you know, and it would be really wonderful to be like the people who, you know, I know someone who got divorced before they even talked about kids and never had to speak to her ex again, but I have my Bella and I'm grateful for that every day. And I feel so much of my purpose on this planet was to become Bella's mom. And I've learned so much about myself through being her mother. So no, I don't wish we would have gotten divorced before we had her. I think that was very much part of the process of my life that I needed to go through. And so that's just a really annoying thing for people to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's a whole list of annoying things that people say when you get divorced, but that's up there.
Yeah. Yeah. You do have a list of them. Stupid things not to say.
Oh, you didn't want to work it out? No. Like, thanks, hon. I tried. Like,
yeah.
Just stick it out. No, yeah. No, I didn't want to die in this marriage.
Yeah. And I, you know, when my youngest was in fifth grade, I remember going to an assembly at her school and the principal's telling us that 75%, and I don't even know how she exactly said this, but 75% of the families were either single parent or blended and I thought, wow, you know, that is a big number for the area that we live in. And I don't know how that is for the country. You probably know better than I, but we really have to, you know, get real about this is life. These are things that happen. And how do we support our kids when they're going through what could be the most traumatic thing that they experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when my daughter started kindergarten last year and she came home, like eyes lit up and was like, did you know so-and-so has a mommy's house and a daddy's house too? And this one has a mommy's house. And then I realized there were five or six kids in her class who came from divorced homes out of like 17. And I'm like, wow, you know, it helped her feel so seen and validated. But then of course there's times where she'll have a play date. A child will come over and whose parents are married, and she'll reference my husband as Bella's dad. And Bella will say, no, he's my stepdad. And the kid looks like, what? Like, what does that mean? And they don't know what divorced means. And on one hand, I say, okay, like their parents are probably trying to protect them from something they don't need to know about yet. But it would be really helpful for the kids who do come from divorced homes if there was acceptance by all friends, you know, not just the divorced kids. So it is such a norm, and it's so important to let your kids know that people come from all sorts of families.
Yeah. So on that note, you know, there's so much talked about diversity and inclusion. Do you think that the schools are doing a good job? I mean, I just think back in my childhood, I mean, there was always a mom and a dad and a family with this, you know, the things we were watching or the stories. Do you think the schools do a good job with showing different types of families, or maybe they're getting better, and maybe that's where we're at right now as a...
I was a teacher, and I stopped teaching about 8 years ago at this point. And no, there was very little inclusion then, I think. But we're in a different place now than we were 8 years ago. I can tell you that I have tried explaining to Bella that mommies can marry other mommies and daddies can marry other daddies. And she's like, no, they can't. You're lying. So I know it hasn't been talked about in school, because she's still at that age where what her teacher says is like the word of God for her. So no, I don't know. I don't know. They're definitely not talking about divorce. And I think we live in a time where people are very easily triggered and pissed off. So teachers are going to just like stay on the straight and narrow to avoid any heat. I don't blame them, because it's really hard to deal with angry parents. So, you know, I think eventually we'll get there. Everything's a process. The last 2 years for us have just been like avoiding COVID and all that type of stuff. And kids have had a lot to process with that. So
absolutely. But it is a message on how much kids take in by what they see. And it reminds me of my oldest daughter. I used to take her to only female doctors, dentist, doctor, everything. And she was watching TV one time and there was a male doctor and she started laughing like, oh my God, that's a boy doctor. Like in her world, that is not even possible. So, right.
My daughter is very much at the age where, you know, she took swim lessons this summer and the instructor was male. And she told mommy, I'm not comfortable with the man touching my body. So I was like, oh my God, good that you said that. Let's get you a girl. You know, I think it's interesting how our kids react to certain things.
Yeah, that is crazy. So getting to moms moving on, you know, I follow you because I just think that your message about just, you know, maybe taking the higher road and how you can make things better with the relationships are just so, we need to hear that. I have three daughters. They have friends that have gone through divorce. I have seen firsthand what, you know, the pull and the back and forth between the parents. But I just feel like moms feel guilty anyways, right? You're feeling guilty about everything. And then to be presented with a divorce on top of that, and wanting to do the best for your children, I have to think that's a hard thing to navigate, because you want your kids to have everything, but you don't want to give them everything because you want them to grow up and appreciate and do all these things. But I see that even more of a challenge in a divorce, because they are going between two houses and this spouse may have more than the other. Do you run into that? And
yeah, so this brings up a really good point. So I actually was speaking to a behavior expert this morning on my podcast about, you know, a lot of divorced parents will forego discipline because they only have so much time with their kids and they don't want to like piss them off or rock the boat and they just want happy times. And that's doing the biggest disservice to your kids ever, obviously. And I just wrote an article on Disneyland parenting for parents. And I got to do a lot of research on that, because without doing the research, I thought, okay, it's just like a parent who just spoils because they don't like know what else to do. It's a really toxic thing for a kid, because what a kid needs to feel secure, divorced or not, is emotional safety. They need to feel there is consistency and stability. They need to know what to expect. And when you have a Disney parent who is spoiling and not, you know, punishing or using any form of discipline, and there's no bedtime and it's a free for all, moms get worried because they're like, oh, my dad, my ex-husband just gives them everything and takes them on trips. And I'm worried my kids are going to want to be there more. What happens is the kids start to pull back from that, and they want to be where it feels safe and they know what to expect. And, you know, I can speak to this because my ex does amazing things with Bella. Like, they go places I never even thought to go. But so many times she's like, but I just want to be home and cuddle. And that's her safe place. And I realized all the shit I can buy her in the Target toy aisle is useless. When she's with me, I spoil her with my time. It's not with toys. And yes, she gets a lot of it. I'm sure she's entitled in her own little six-year-old way. She definitely understands the value of things. But I realized the best way to spoil our co-parented kids is with our time and attention. We only have our time in percentages. I call it parenting in pieces. And you want to make sure each piece is so valuable, where they learn safety and security, where they understand what's expected of them, and they have like a port in the storm, because life is scary. So if you're constantly just like showing your kid a good time, but not giving them the tools to adapt to life, like, what good is it?
Mm-hmm. That is such a good message. I'm thinking of just my childhood, and I always want to create memories for my kids. And even now that my kids are getting older, when they think back, they love Christmas. They never are talking about those things that I gave them for Christmas. They're talking about all those traditions that we have in the family.
Children will never remember what you do for them, but they'll remember how you make them feel. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important message, I think, so many parents need to hear through the divorce process, men and women.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that wanting to spoil them comes from that place of guilt as well. You know, sometimes there are financial struggles. Many, many times in a divorce, there's financial struggles because you're now splitting everything. So you may have been able to give more before. So then you feel like you want to continue doing those same things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, you're creating a monster, and you're also creating a much more difficult life for yourself if you think that like material things are going to repair whatever you think needs repairing, you know.
Yeah.
It's like women like me, like on a bad day, I just want to go to the mall and buy things. Like, I come home, I have a bunch of new pants, but my problems are still the same, right? Like, it didn't solve anything for me. It was just a simple distraction for an hour or two.
Right, right. So speaking of moms moving on, so a lot of times, and you know, I went through this, and I know I have friends that went through this. You get divorced, and the first thing on your mind is meeting someone else. Like, I yes. want to meet someone else. And I feel like I went through that serial dating and disappointment. And one day, I don't know, I think I was walking and at the beach or something, and it came into my head, oh my gosh, if I meet the most perfect person for me, something could happen. Something could happen to that person. He may pass away. And then what? Like, that is not my answer. I need to be happy with me. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when that clicked, I literally met my husband within six months of that time. When I changed, I started training for a marathon, my first marathon, met a bunch of friends. I stopped thinking about the guy. And that's when things changed for me. So I know you coach women, and I've heard you speak to that piece. So can you talk a little bit about what happens after marriage and why you don't want to focus on just filling that loss?
Absolutely. I think it's really simple. And my past behavior in relationships is a testament to the fact that if you just keep attaching yourself to somebody new to avoid dealing with the real issues, then you'll find yourself divorced over and over and over again. It's natural to come out of a marriage and want to know, am I still lovable, desirable, fuckable, all those things. But that's not the biggest, most important part of your life. Like you said, the most important part of life is knowing that you'll be okay no matter what. And that was something I had to work really hard on after my divorce, because I had always just gone from one relationship to the next without doing any of my own work. I'd very rarely ever been single. And I got really, really, really clear on the fact that, like, you know what? This isn't just about me anymore. If I'm dating, I'm not dating for me. If I'm looking to get married again, I'm not doing that just for me. I have a daughter. And I can't keep fucking this up because I don't want her to have that as her example for like what's normal. So therapy, like right away, I started therapy before separating. I knew I was going to end up getting divorced anyway. And I started working on myself before and thinking about what are the parts of me that needed fixing before I was going to put myself back out into the world again. And I worked on all of that. And I'm still working on all of that because we're all a work in progress. I don't want anyone listening to think you have to be like perfectly healed before you can find somebody. You don't have to be. You just have to be committed to your healing process always. And then I got really comfortable being alone, which was really surprising. I had lots of people texting and calling and random like, hey, we went to high school together, heard you're single. And it was really tempting, but I didn't take anybody up on it. And then, you know, could have used maybe some sex because I hadn't had that in a really long time. But I was like, what am I going to do? Like have a booty call and then this guy leaves in the morning and my daughter's sleeping in the next room. Like, ew, no. So I got really like stingy with my time and really learned to enjoy being alone and by myself and realized that alone was not scary. It was a lot better than being unhappy with somebody else. Alone and lonely are very different. I think if you get comfortable alone, you can avoid being lonely. So like you, when I got clear on that, I was like, I'm good. I know I'm going to get married again one day. Whenever it happens, it happens. And when once I got like fully clear on that mission, I met my now husband.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's how it works. The universe wants you to understand mm-hmm. that you are okay by yourself before they're going to throw you a bone.
Yeah. And you really, you avoid, when you're focused on things that are important to you and that fill you, you are not going to be needy. And I laugh with my husband now because I had just started training for that marathon when I met him, and he always had Saturday morning basketball. So he thought I was the coolest woman because I'd get up in the morning, I'd go to my marathon training, and he'd go to basketball. Well, he had no idea that I hadn't been doing this forever, you know, but it yeah. kept me from being like needy, like, well, where are you going? You're going to basketball, you're doing this. And I had that outlet. So I really think that that is a great important
I was
step.
Really needy too. I was really needy too. And now looking at how not needy I am in my relationship, like my husband sometimes is like expecting me to be, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like I love my alone time. And I think women don't realize like that want to, that desire to get married again, it's not so much because you want somebody there. It's because you just want to know you're not going to die alone. I always tell my clients who are like desperate to meet someone, like it all ends up the same. You'll fall in love, but then you're still like hitting them with a pillow to stop snoring and asking them to pick up their socks off the floor. Like it all goes the same
right.
way, you know? So
pick the right one.
Take your time and slow down because the chances of you not meeting somebody are slim in this world, in this day and age, with all the different ways we can meet somebody. You want to really like make sure it works for you instead of, will you work for him? You know, I hope he likes me is the worst thing. It's, I hope I like him and I hope I'm good enough. He's good enough for my world.
Yeah. So what is the process? So when you get yourself together, you've had some good therapy, you've got a life and you do meet that guy, that man that you think, wow, this, he might be a person, my person. At what point do you bring him into your family? Do you introduce him to your daughter?
I think first it depends on the ages of your children. It depends on where on the page you both are. Are you on the same page? Do you see a future in which living together or getting married would be a thing? Like the worst thing you want to do is try and recreate this family thing and play house just because you want your child to have someone else in their lives to stand in the role of who you lost. That would do more harm than good. So you want to first really be clear, like, okay, we're together for the long haul. This is a thing. If I introduce you to my children, like, you know, you better stick around. And when you do introduce the kids, keep it really informal. Like, hey, this is mommy's new friend. Don't go to like a sit down dinner. I think Bella met Spencer at the playground. He came just nonchalant, came with his daughter. We all like said hi. He like, you know, interacted with Bella a little. I talked to his daughter a little and that was it. And then at that point, we didn't start integrating right away. It was a little bit here, a little bit there. His daughter was older than mine, so I would wait for her to invite me to plans instead of like just inserting myself in them. And I think if you do it slow and steady and you respect that, like, it's hard for children to get used to somebody new and you want to give them time to adjust and acclimate, then I think that's the best way to do it.
Right. And what's the rush? There's no rush. I mean, if that really is a person that you want in your life, they're going to be in your life forever. So you don't have to rush those things.
Yeah. And you don't want to have to force it either. Like, nothing forced ever turns out okay. So I was really big on, you know, I didn't want to be with somebody who didn't love and accept my daughter. So I was really big on watching the chemistry between Spencer and Bella, making sure it was there, that it wasn't just like an act to win you over. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to see how she was two. I wanted to see how he was going to react when she spilled a glass of water across the table or squirted applesauce on his bed sheets when we were shacked up together in a hurricane, you know? So like, that was important to me because I wasn't moving forward in a relationship with somebody who saw my kid as a nuisance or a burden. Like, I wanted her to be loved, and it's important to see that that person can do so, and you'll only know in small increments.
Yeah. And I read that your husband is a divorce judge.
He is.
How did you meet him?
He wasn't a divorce judge when I met him. He was a criminal judge when I met him. He was actually presiding over domestic violence cases and then went into being a criminal judge. And only in the last year and a half has he moved to family court. We met because he lived in my mom's building. And when I was single, Bella was two, I would pick her up from school and it was like a long, lonely afternoon at home sometimes. So we would go to my mom's building so my mom could play with her, or so we could take a walk on the water. They live on the water. And I would always see this guy come like in the afternoon, later in the afternoon with his daughter to go fishing off the pier. And I was like, oh, he's, you know, hot. But I was not the girl who's going to be like, so I never said anything, but I didn't notice a ring either. And then he actually reached out to me on LinkedIn because we were both in the same edition of our town's newspaper. He was on the cover for something he did with court. And I was way further back in some article, and he reached out and he wrote, "Very impressive stuff, MD, Michelle Dempsey." And that's how that happened.
So what, did he recognize you in the article as the woman at the lake?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is crazy. Yeah. And now I just think it, you know, you got to talk about it's meant to be, you know?
It's meant to be. And I knew it before. I never had that feeling. Like, I thought people who said, when you know, were full of shit. Yeah. I finally felt that with him before we even went on our first date. We had been talking back and forth for a few weeks. And I said to my best friend, like, after this date, everything's going to be different. I knew it. We were so aligned in our values, in our lifestyles, just in so many ways. And it just all fit.
Yeah. I'm married to an attorney, and I know that good judges are well needed and very important. Do you think that you've had an influence on him as far as how he receives the individuals that he's proceeding over and helping, or?
No, I think it's the opposite. I think I've learned so much from him. So he's divorced and a co-parent, and him having that experience in the courtroom, I think, is why he has the reputation he has. He is fair. He really has a child-focused approach instead of, you know, some judges favor moms or dads or whatever. He really is all about what's okay for the kids. And I think that this is a breath of fresh air in the South Florida divorce industry, because Florida for so long has been just 50-50 down the middle, don't want to hear any issues. And he's not like that. He's really about understanding the needs of the child and what would be best for them depending on their age or their background. So I've learned a lot from him in how to remain neutral or calm in high stress situations. He has a beautiful relationship with his ex-wife, which I think, you know, is amazing for their daughter. He gives me a lot of advice on how to handle my own issues and advice with clients too. And he's taught me, his famous line is, you don't have to show up every time somebody wants, no, you don't have to step into the ring every time someone wants to box. And he like lives by that. And I find it amazing. And that's become sort of my thing that I preach to others and that I try to live by as well.
There is no fight if you're not in the ring, right?
Right.
Yeah. So for our listeners that may be sitting and thinking, oh my gosh, I've made all the mistakes. I've been in the ring. I've been boxing. What the heck?
First of all, it's so normal. I've been there too. It took me 2 years to get out of the ring. Trust me. It's a natural response. Women, do not feel bad about yourself. It is natural and normal to want to defend yourself, protect yourself, feel heard, seen, all those things. The problem is high conflict men, or men who are led by ego, which is mostly all of them, they're not hearing you. So it doesn't matter what you say or how you say it, their perspective on you, on the divorce, is not going to change. So you're much better off saving your energy for more important things like raising your kids and moving on.
Yeah. And it's not too late.
You can it's never too late.
Yeah.
Listen, I wasn't the most highly evolved co-parent when we started. I had to learn that every time I did step into the ring when I was invited to fight, it screwed up my day. It screwed up my energy. I wasn't my best self for Bella. I couldn't function with clients. Like I'm very emotional and sensitive. So it would take everything out of me and it wasn't worth it anymore. You don't get anywhere. There's nothing really to fight over. That's why you have a parenting plan. You fought for that and that's all you need to follow.
And I got to think that when you got out of the ring, there may have been some confusion on his part. Like he was totally used to a good sparring partner.
Right. And I think, not responding is the best boundary. That's all I can say.
I love it. Okay. So I want to talk about your book. Yeah. So what, it's coming out in January, yes, right? So January. What can we expect?
First of all, you can pre-order it now. Please do, because I'm going to be doing lots of fun stuff with people who have pre-ordered. We're going to be having workshops and virtual summits and all that. It is really a how-to for moms going through divorce. I found that a lot of the content out there was not really geared towards women in their early 30s. It was like, okay, you're in your 40s now, what? Or silver divorce, gray divorce, whatever. It's really like how to survive your first night without the kids. From that, everything to how to survive the divorce process, how to put yourself back out there again, and how to feel like your best self. Really like a what to expect when you're expecting, but for divorce.
Oh, I love it. So surviving the first night is not drinking a bottle of Chardonnay, right?
It is if you need it to be.
Just not a night too.
It's really like letting go of what everybody tells you you need to be doing as you move on and doing what feels right and allowing yourself the time to grieve and heal. Because if you don't do that, it's all going to catch up with you.
Exactly. Well, we look forward to that book and I will put the link in the show notes on where they can pre-order. And you have the most amazing Instagram. I love it. I love your
Thank
message.
You.
I love everything about it. So can you tell everyone how they can find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at the Michelle Dempsey. I'm on the podcast is Moms Moving On. It streams everywhere. We have some really great guests. We have really informative attorneys and therapists and fun housewives and TV personalities. What else do I have? That's the podcast. My website is momsmovingon.com. We have a membership community. I do group workshops. I do one-on-one coaching, which you can learn about on my website too. I think that's it.
I love it. It's funny you mentioned the housewives because I feel like it's almost a documentary on divorce because there's so many marriages that break up on the housewives.
So funny because like my followers will like put certain celebrities on my radar that I've never even heard of that are like, this one's getting divorced, bring them on the podcast. And I'm like, okay, like if I could get J-Lo on the podcast, I would, but.
Right. Okay. Oh, Michelle. So one of the questions I ask all of my guests, what does it mean to you to be brave?
I think to be brave really means doing the hard thing, even when you are scared to do it, even when, the outcome is not guaranteed, even when everybody is telling you not to, or society tells you it's not okay. It's owning what's right for you and taking the first step. I think that's bravery.
Yeah. That's the scariest part, right? Starting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I loved talking with you and looking Thank forward you. To collaborating more when your book comes out.
Totally.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.